Welcome back to House of Bravo, where we break down Bravo shows and personalities from a cosmic perspective. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader. Each week, we'll uncover the underlying energies shaping the drama both on screen and off, from current astro weather and events to deep dives into Bravo Liberty's energetics. This is your one-stop shop podcast to get your Bravo fix while learning to decode the language of the stars.
Hi, friends. I am reporting from Puerto Rico. I am here visiting my family. Apologies for any sound issues in advance. I'm in my Airbnb. There's a lot of noise outside. They've been power washing the building. And there's just a lot of unknown factors happening, but we're going to roll with the punches and get this done. I also have a bit of a time constraint because my niece has specially requested that Aunt Emma pick her up from daycare today. So we're going to maybe be talking a little fast because I have a lot of things that I want to get to. Not only do we have the Housewives drought ending with Real Housewives of New Jersey finally airing, I'm also catching up on some old Bravo news that I kind of wanted to maybe talk about if I have the time to do so. So we're going to go ahead, we're going to dive in, and we're going to get right to it. We just had on the 7th of May a beautiful new moon in Taurus. And what makes this new moon so special, new moons being a time for planting seeds, setting intentions that you want to see come to fruition. It is about newness, about creation, about ideas and all these lovely things. That was just happened in Taurus, conjunct Venus. Now, Venus rules Taurus. So it's adding to that ability of setting intentions for wealth, setting intentions for your desires. What are you valuing now? What do you want to see come true, come forth in your life, in the area of your chart where 19 degrees Taurus is falling? Not only is Venus present in Taurus for this lunation, but we also have Jupiter still in Taurus. It's about to enter Gemini in May, but it is still currently in Taurus. So it's just adding to that ability to kind of hypercharge or intensify your intentions, Jupiter being this the planet of abundance, of growth. And of course, we've had Uranus in Taurus. It's a slow-moving planet. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. Uranus is about shaking things up. So where have you been stuck? This is happening in a fixed sign. Where have you been stuck in this area of life where you've been trying to move forward, plant seeds? Like this is that lunation. And yes, we're now a few days past that actual new moon, but you still have the opportunity to set these intentions that you want to see come to life. Now, during the new moon in Taurus, I was on a flight down here to Puerto Rico, and I happened to listen to the episode of Ay Por Favor with Alexi and Marisol, where Alexi is talking about her divorce from Todd. And I know that this is old news, but it was the first chance I had to kind of listen to her side of the story. And I pulled up his chart and I just thought it would be interesting to talk through some of it. So the first thing that as soon as I heard her, one of the first things she said was that they had been together for 7 years and she kept harping on the fact that they had been together for 7 years. Well, if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you will know that that 7 years is a tricky number because that is when we hit our Saturn square. Yes, this happens in our own natal charts, but everything, the each moment starts a new chart. Basically, astrology is a way of telling time. So as soon as she said they'd been together for 7 years, I was like, okay, it makes so much sense. Now, Alexia said she was blindsided because she's committed to making things work and not going to give up when things get hard. And clearly he wasn't looking to put in the work. When we look at Alexia's placements. She says she's looking to put in the work. She's got a Taurus stellium. She's got her Sun, her Mercury, her North Node in Taurus, this fixed sign of commitment. Like, fixed signs are all about commitment. And not only that, but she most likely has a Pisces moon. Pisces, a little bit of delusion, a little bit of deception, a little bit of these rose-colored glasses where it comes to your emotions. So, like, it says to me that there were big issues. And yes, she was willing to put in the work, but she was also maybe blinded to the fact that, like, he was coming to a point where he couldn't take it anymore. Or, like, maybe she didn't realize that he wasn't as invested in things as she was. When I look at Todd's chart, his Venus is conjunct Uranus in Libra. Venus, love, Uranus, disruption, change, shock in Libra, the sign of relationships. And this is all trining his Saturn in Gemini, Saturn representing commitment, Gemini being a mutable sign that's maybe it's not so committed. You know, it can just pick up and move on to the next thing. It's not going to keep putting in the work because it knows that it can be having a better time somewhere else, basically, for like a harsh way of putting it. Now, he does have Mars in Scorpio. He also has his Sun in Scorpio, and he may have a Taurus moon, which would make sense from their initial connection since she has her Taurus placements. And these are all placements in fixed signs. Scorpio and Taurus, in my opinion, being the most stubborn of the fixed signs. But I guess for him, that 7 years of effort was enough for that relationship for him to kind of give up or just let go of that commitment, for that Gemini Saturn to kick in and be like, nah, I've had enough. And it just keeps making me think of that phrase, especially since we keep hearing it from Lindsay in these Summer House episodes, you know, relationships are work. And I think everyone can agree on that. Relationships are work. But I think that you also really need this healthy, stable foundation. And for things to be more good than they are bad, for you to fall back on that phrase. You shouldn't just get going when the going gets tough, but that doesn't mean you should stay in something that's not enjoyable or healthy. And on the episode, Alexia kept talking about how, like, yeah, we argue a lot, but then we make up and we get over it. And it's like, but how many arguments do there need to be? So I think this was just a case of a mismatched love affair. Now, we don't really know much about Todd and Alexia's relationship, but we do know a lot more about the relationships happening over in the Hamptons with Summer House. In this last episode, first of all, before I get into it, I'm so sad that it's airing tonight and Alyssa's going to be on reading everyone's chart and I'm not even going to be able to talk about it until next week's episode, but that's okay because we have a lot to talk about from this past episode that we saw. So it kicked off with Paige and Craig going for a lovely little picnic on the East River. And a lot came out in this episode. I feel like we're really seeing a lot of their relationship this season and what they're struggling with and how they're trying to work through it. So some of the things that came up were that Craig is highly emotional and Paige is not. That Craig feels that this may not work, or I don't know if he phrased it that way, but he said something about like, I have a feeling that I'm going to be waiting around for you and then you're going to leave me, basically, to paraphrase. I ran Craig's human design chart, and while I don't know his rising sign, I did check the time ranges throughout the day, and no matter what time of day Craig was born, he is an emotional projector. Craig has to feel things out to know what feels right. And I think he's been with Paige long enough to start feeling like this is not right for him, that he knows that this isn't going to be it. And that's why he's feeling insecure. You really shouldn't feel that insecure in a relationship that you've been in for that long. Now, there are no shoulds, right? But like, who wants to feel insecure in a relationship unless that's your kink? which I don't think it is for Craig. Otherwise, he wouldn't keep voicing it in this way. And I mean, we know they're clearly not on the same page, no pun intended. Paige wanting it to be on her own timing, there's nothing wrong with that. She needs to be ready before she can commit to something. But it just may not work for them. So I did run their Vedic compatibility because it was so much fun to do that with Carl and Lindsay. And I was very curious, okay, what do the Vedic stars say for Paige and Craig? And they also scored pretty low. I think Carl and Lindsay were a 15 out of 36. So are Paige and Craig. But they scored differently in the various categories. It's just like when we add them all up, it comes to be a low number. So whereas they score high, hitting all the marks for their intellectual and spiritual and ego levels, and also their compatibility with child rearing and their personal health and how that will match each other, tens, tens, tens across the board. However, there are other areas, some of them are really low, such as emotional compatibility. They scored 0 points. Their temperaments and behaviors, 0 points. And even their intimacy really didn't score very high, despite what Paige has said about them having a lot of sex. So I've said this before, I will say it again. I don't think that this is it for them. I think this is going to set them up for the next relationship. And I just hope that Craig doesn't hold on too long waiting for something. And then, as he said, like, I feel like I'm just going to wait and wait. And then I'm going to get to this certain age and have to start over and fall in love with someone all over again. Like, Craig, from what he's saying, he knows the situation. I think he's just not really ready to admit it. And he does love Paige. And that's hard. Relationships are tough. They aren't easy. Also in this episode, we have Carl, once again being highlighted for not really being fully truthful about what's going on, about what he's feeling, about what he's thinking. He's not sharing his thoughts and feelings in a way that's really getting across what it is that's going on in his world internally. So of course, I think, where is his Mercury? Where is his Chiron? His Chiron is in Gemini. Chiron, the wound, Gemini around your communication, about your thought process, about your intellect. I mean, we're clearly seeing this coming through with Carl. We saw it with him in the Loverboy fiasco. Was that like 2 seasons ago or last season? We're seeing it now with Lindsay. He, even with his parents, right? It's like he's trying to communicate, but it's like not coming through, and he's not really committing to the communication of his thoughts and feelings, which is causing a lot of problems. Now, Lindsay, on the other hand, does not have that problem. And actually, I was like really impressed with how she was communicating the feelings of rejection she felt from Carl's mom and what Carl's mom was saying about her, because she does feel like, what's her name? Sharon? Whatever his mom's name is. She felt close with her and she's known her a long time. And here she is feeling like she's going to gain a mother. And now this mother is seemingly rejecting her. And just the way that Lindsay was able to communicate that was really, well, heartbreaking, but also impressive. And maybe Lindsay doesn't always deliver her communications in the best way, but the fact that she's able to see and share allows others to understand where she's coming from. Unlike Carl, who isn't really sharing the full story with anyone, but giving everyone these little bits and pieces, and it's like they have to kind of jigsaw puzzle it together to get the picture that he doesn't want to go through with this marriage. And then it's like he's putting the onus on other people to push him to say those words that he needs to be saying, which does make me wonder, and of course we're not there yet, but it makes me wonder about him calling back the camera crew to film the breakup with Lindsay and how that's going to go and how he's going to be communicating that. Now, Lindsay also has Chiron in Gemini. But the thing about Chiron is as soon as we're able to heal this wound in ourselves, we're then able to help others overcome that wound. And maybe time will tell. Maybe Carl going through this situation with Lindsay and being put on this center, front and center stage on a national or even international level of being a poor communicator will allow him to see like very clearly what his communication issues are and to maybe overcome them. I think we talked about this last week, but Lindsay does have her Mercury at 0 degrees Leo. And I think this helps to combat that Chiron in Gemini, because whereas she may feel insecure about her thought process, her communication, her intellect, her Mercury is still going to be shooting from the hip and saying what it feels and needs to say. Someone else who's having difficulty communicating their thoughts and feelings, if we move over to Summer House Martha's Vineyard, is Summer. I'm not going to get too much into this episode, but damn, each week I want her birth info more and more. She's just giving so much this season and it's fucking deep. And you see a lot of wounds shining through. So all I can say from knowing her big three is that her Virgo moon and her Capricorn rising are showing through so strongly, with her trying to deal with everything herself, not wanting to share her mess with the rest of the house. I've said this before, but part of the Virgo need for control and order is because they feel like everything is a mess and they're trying to keep it under wraps so that other people don't see that. And Summer is personifying that side of Virgo. She's like on the brink of sharing what's going on, but she can't bring herself to either burden others or let them see that she doesn't have it all together. I think it was Noelle that said in this episode when they were having their one-on-one, like, I know you like to have your shit all together and to be like buttoned up, but you don't need to present that way. Like you can open up to me. I thought I'm your friend and that's what I'm here for. So I feel for Summer. I also am glad that while she hasn't been able to share what's going on with herself, she was able to pull Preston aside and just kind of communicate to him that our relationship's heavy. And right now I that's too much for me. Now she could have just taken it a step further to get to the crux of the issue of, you know, I know you have heavy shit going on with your father just passing away, but it's making what's going on in my life and the reality of the fact that my caretaker is not healthy, my main caretaker, my grandmother, the woman who raised me, it's like making that reality a little too real for me. Because the way she said it, I think like while he did receive it really well, left him with this taste of, I'm not here to just be a fair weather friend and just to have fun and shoot the shit. Like that's not what a friendship really is. So I see where she's coming from, even without knowing the rest of her chart. I see where she's coming from and I feel for her. I think Preston handled that conversation really well. Now, moving on to Real Housewives of New Jersey, season 14. I can't believe there's only been 14 seasons. I feel like this show has been on forever. And I don't have a lot to say astrologically yet, of course. But I do love when they start a season with a flash forward. Even though it's slightly overused, I think it works because by this time these seasons air, we have a somewhat of an idea of what went on during the season because it's months later, there's social media, there are blind items that come out. And also I feel like, I don't think there's anyone that does not like Dolores. So to open the show with a picture of Dolores sitting at Rails, like the most famous of the Housewives of New Jersey restaurants, maybe the most famous of any restaurant on Housewives history, with the exception of Nobu. And by famous, I just mean in the Bravo sphere. Because I like grew up in New Jersey close to there. I've never been to Rails, but I know it exists. And I have been tempted to go just to, it's like a sightseeing tourist attraction for a Bravo lover. I think it would be really fun actually to have like a meetup event at Rails and get drinks and just talk about Housewives. So putting that in my mental list of things to maybe do. Yeah, but getting into the episode, mostly I'm going to be talking about Dolores. Polly. I didn't love Polly last season. And the fact that he's been separated for 10 years, is not moving really on this divorce, is concerning. Add to that the fact that as the staff of Watch What Happens Live feels, him not being able to stomach Italian food seems like a bad omen. So not an astrologically based theory, but I don't see this working out. Or I should say, I don't see this being it for Dolores. Not to say that they're not going to get married, but I don't know, you know? But Dolores is a new moon baby. She has both her sun and her moon in Capricorn. And we did just have a new moon in Taurus. So I thought we'd talk about what it means to be a new moon baby. New moon babies are when the sun and moon are conjunct in the same sign when you're born. And really just kind of applies to anybody whose sun and moon are in the same sign. It doesn't necessarily have to be conjunct in your birth chart. People who are new moon babies are generally a step ahead of everyone else. They're visionaries. They are dreamers. They're inspirational. And they have a lot of heart. They're loving. They're nurturing. And they have an air of youthfulness about them. I feel like this really personifies Dolores. I mean, she is the most loving. She's so nurturing. She has so much heart. And she does have a really youthful vibe, even though she also presents as very mature and put together. She's fun. She's down to earth. And honestly, like I said, I feel like everyone loves Dolores. If there's a part of the internet or fandom that does not like Dolores, I have not come across it. Which, good for her. I feel like that's really hard to do when you're on TV like this. Like, there's always going to be those haters. So that's pretty fucking impressive if everyone likes Dolores. Or even if, like, you're not a huge Dolores fan, but you don't have a dislike of Dolores. That's also, I think, really fucking impressive. Now, I think the thing about Dolores is she's got a lot of earth placements. So she is really down to earth. And while earth placements can be a bit stubborn, a bit stuck in their own ways, and maybe sometimes even a stick in the mud could describe earth placements, I think it's just like playing out really nicely for Dolores. And I wonder if it's the fact that she's got her north node in Aquarius. Because actually, if I'm looking at a lot of her placements, they could play out in such a different way than they are with her. Those Capricorn placements of sun, moon, Mercury, that can be a hard ass in a bad way. Dolores is definitely a hard ass. I mean, she was a fucking correctionals officer, for God's sakes, but she's a hard ass in a really loving way. She seems very Cancerian in a lot of ways, even though she doesn't have any Cancer placements. But like that love of family, that devotion to family is something that just like rides so deeply within her. And I think that even though her placements are in Capricorn and not in Cancer, all of the like Capricorn's about providing for your family. It's about providing for your loved ones. And I think Dolores does that in her new moon in Capricorn way through her heart, through her devotion, through that loving and nurturing. So it's like giving that Cancer vibes, even though, again, she doesn't have any Cancer placements. She has her Mars, Venus, Jupiter in Scorpio. so loyal, like loyal as fuck. And we see this in her. Look how she stood by Teresa no matter what. And maybe she's not always agreeing with Teresa, but she's still going to stand by her friend and not throw her under the bus. Those Scorpio placements are opposing her Saturn and Taurus. Again, loyal, grounded, dedicated. And yes, as I said, like while it's the way that it's manifesting in Dolores is in a really lovely way, these placements could be really rough. So yay Dolores for being a fucking star and not falling to the low vibe side of these placements that could so easily come out. I mean, yeah, Scorpio's loyal, but it can be vindictive. She's never, look at her and Frank. And maybe it's because, again, like going back to that nurture and care for the family with those Capricorn new moon energy. But it's like it kind of in some ways feels like Dolores doesn't have a mean or bad bone in her body. And while I'm sure that's not actually true, because we all have multiple sides of us, we just haven't seen that from Dolores. And she really does seem like a fucking saint. Saint Dolores Catania. I'm here for it. Now, I have to jump off because, as I said, I have to go pick up my niece. But one thing that I did just want to briefly talk about, because we did have the Met on Monday, is the relationship between Sarah Jessica Parker and Andy Cohen. I think it's really cute that her husband, Matthew Broderick, even though he's an actor, he really is not into the limelight. He doesn't like the red carpet. That's not his thing. And so Andy fills in these moments as the gay husband. We know Andy's chart. We know he's a Gemini sun, a Leo moon, and a Libra rising. Sarah Jessica Parker is an Aries sun, Capricorn moon, and Gemini rising. So right off the bat, we see this connection with their Gemini placements. But not only is Sarah Jessica Parker a Gemini rising, she also has her North Node in Gemini, and it's conjunct Andy's Mars, Sun, and even kind of his Venus. And I don't know, the first thing that comes to mind to me when I see that is this social aspect that they share. Gemini is all about flirtation, fun, being a social butterfly, and here they are again, sharing these red carpets together, sharing these social events together. Also with SJP's North Node there, as she moves towards her purpose, her destiny, her evolution in this life, Andy's kind of there to shine a spotlight on it in some ways. And this is a give and take because coming up, being on Sex and the City, the star, she got him on as an extra multiple times. I know he was a shoe salesman in one episode, and I think he was in one or two other episodes. But now, you know, not many people in this day and age, or I should say not in this day and age, but in the newer generations know who Sarah Jessica Parker is, because even though she's now on that new HBO show that's like a remake of Sex and the City, I don't even know what it's called. It's still a show kind of for the older generations that knew Sex and the City. And yet Andy, who now basically runs a network, is continuing to shine a spotlight on this woman through his platform. So I think that's really lovely. Their Venuses are also sextiling. Andy's is in Gemini, as I just mentioned, and Sarah Jessica Parker's is in Aries. So they have this love, their Venuses, their love, their values are really able to communicate with each other. Their Jupiters are squaring each other. And while squares are thought of as a harsh aspect, it really is allowing a conversation to occur. And through more difficult aspects, squares, oppositions are where we find growth. Now, especially growth with a Jupiter in Leo, all about Leo being the performer, Leo being a very egocentric, not necessarily in a negative way, but like an egocentric sign. And Taurus, Jupiter and Taurus, abundance, luxury, material items, their Jupiters are able to help support each other and kind of bring out these sides in each other and to help push each other as well as to rub off on each other. Sarah Jessica Parker's sun and Venus are conjunct Andy's Chiron in Aries. And I feel like in some ways, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker, yes, she's married. She has a family, but she's also very independent. Again, even though her and Matthew Broderick have been married for many, many years and seemingly happy, they have their own lives from each other. Andy has this wound around independence in some way and breaking free. And yet I feel like in some ways, especially again, because their Venus is his in Gemini, their sextiling, and her Venus is on his Chiron, I do feel that she might have had a big part to play in Andy deciding to step in the role of fatherhood to children, Gemini being a sign of children, Aries also being a sign of children, being the first sign of the zodiac, representing babies in a lot of ways. I feel like she might have been instrumental in helping him make the decision of going into fatherhood as a solo parent. I think their friendship's really fun. I think a lot of Andy's friendships are fun. I love him and Amy Sedaris. I just love Amy Sedaris and I love Andy Cohen. So why would I not love the two of them together? I love him and Anderson Cooper. I think Andy's got such a cool group of friends. And I don't mean that the people necessarily are cool, but I just love the friendships that he has with his friends. I love that each of them is so different, that he gets so many different things through each of them. And they all really support each other. So yeah, just like more of my love for Andy Cohen. I did see that an article came out where he was finally addressing the Housewives Reckoning. I didn't get to read it yet. The one thing that I did see was that they asked about housewives or like reality stars unionizing. And I really did like his answer about that, that basically like you go on a reality show because you want to. This isn't like a job where you're becoming an electrician or a plumber and that's your career and that is your life and that is your livelihood and that is everything. Like you choose to be on reality television. It is most likely or like most often because you want notoriety, you want the spotlight, you want to be promoting yourself or to then like take it and catapult yourself into some level of success or like to spin that into something else, to give yourself a platform to grow from. So in that, I agree with him. Like, I don't think reality stars should be unionized or there should be anything about that. Now, that doesn't mean that these people shouldn't have rights, that they shouldn't have protections, but I don't think that that needs to be done through a union in order for people to be treated with respect and things like that. I also thought the stuff that was brought up about the drinking was very interesting because, as he pointed out, there are a lot of housewives who don't drink. Candy Burris, I think Jill Zarin, even he mentioned Heather Dubrow will have a glass of champagne every once in a while, but no one is pushing these people to consume things that they're not comfortable consuming themselves. So I do need to read the rest of the article for sure. But my love of Andy remains. And yeah, my love of my niece remains too. So with that, I am going to sign off so I can speed edit this and go get my little Nina from her daycare. For more Bravo astrology content, make sure you're following along on Instagram at the Cosmic Clubhouse. Make sure you subscribe, rate, please review the podcast, please share it with friends. And I apologize for a kind of sped through episode, but I'm just doing my best while I'm here visiting my family. We will be back next week with more Housewives of New Jersey, with more Summer House. We'll get to talk about Alyssa's readings of the Summer House Hamptons crew, which, as I said, I'm very excited about. And I hope you all have a lovely week ahead, and I will catch you back here in the clubhouse next week.